Welcome in upstate. It is a Monday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I'm live here at Smoke on the Water. Patrick Brown is live back at the ESPN Upstate Studios. Diesel's on vacation this week, and he's somewhere down I-95, Patrick, if you've noticed that, because I can't figure out if he's on vacation or if he's on a radio listening tour. Have you noticed his Twitter page here?
I have, and he's been getting some good shout-outs from everyone as well. And I mean, I kind of do the same thing whenever I travel everywhere. I kind of check out the different radio stations, listen to what they do, how we could do it differently here in at Intercom Upstate. But I've kind of enjoyed his Twitter. It's like he's we're traveling with him, but through the radio dial.
But it's exactly what I told him not to do on Friday afternoon. Hey, man, go chill out. Don't, you know, so. But I guess these dadgum millennials, you know what I mean, Patrick? Y'all can, y'all can walk and chew gum at the same time. Y'all can tweet, Instagram, Facebook, text, and drive at the same time, right?
Sturge, we're also producers. So we kind of know how to do 25 different things at one time and make it look easy.
Well, then, that's apropos at 6:20 today. I'm doing you a big favor.
I see him on the list, and I'm excited.
Crazy Charlie's going to come in and join us, give us an idea of what's going on in the NHL. Of course, Chris Smith, a big NHL guy as well. So not only that, Crazy Charlie is the ultimate five-tool producer. So you might want to get his phone number, and you know, so y'all can chat back and forth and that kind of thing.
We tweet on a regular basis to one another, and I enjoy his Friday shows because it's just basically the producer show.
Right.
And he tweets all these different things to the outside people who have no idea what they are, but to all the producers, we're like, oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep. So no doubt about it. All right, real quickly, if you did not hear your 4 p.m. keyword in the free cash stash contest, that is AIR, A-I-R. And to be honest with you, that might be one of the things that we get into here in a little bit, Patrick, in hour number one. Are they taking the air out of the PGA Tour at this point? We'll, of course, talk about that. Also, 5:37, we got to give our props and get Coach J.B. Clark of the Limestone Lacrosse team on. Number one team in the country, and they will play this weekend for another national titles. So Coach J.B. Clark at 5:37, at 6:20, Crazy Charlie. But here in hour number one, we got a lot of different things we'll get into, from the NBA championship to I think I have a new favorite horse and things of that nature. But we got to start, a lot of baseball going on, Pat. And let's give props with a team that is already in the NCAA tournament that has now made it to a D2 regional. It is your alma mater, North Greenville. And our buddy Landon Powell is the Crusaders sweep through their D2 regional this past weekend up in Tigerville, taking care of Mount Olive, and then a two-game sweep, if you will, of Lincoln Memorial University. So this Friday, right up there in Tigerville, Catawba College comes in for game number one on Friday, and then a doubleheader, if necessary, on Saturday. Of course, it's best two out of three. The winner will advance to the D2 World Series in Cary, North Carolina. And you know, Patrick, even in the short time since you've been at North Greenville, coming up from down in the lower part of the state, it has been amazing to watch that sports program as a whole just grow. But think about 5 years ago, 8 wins for North Greenville. They hire Landon Powell. Now they're hosting a super regional with a chance to go on to the D2 College World Series. I mean, those are pretty special times right there in Tigerville.
And it was one of those things where – the whole university, because I remember the hiring of Landon Powell. We kind of had like a little special event at the college radio station down there where we were at. We kind of were huddled around the computer screen seeing like who we were getting hired. We had a few names that were rumored, but we really didn't know until the very end. And when Landon Powell's name came out, we expected a turnaround. We did not expect this quick of a turnaround. I mean, again, you think about half of the time I was there at NGU, we were a subpar baseball team, and now the past few years you talk about them as a consistent top five team in any poll.
Yeah, now they're top two.
Yeah, and this team needed a bounce back from last year, losing in the regional in kind of heartbreaking way. this is their first time they've been in Super Regional in quite a while. So now North Greenville's back into the fold of the baseball world. And for them, they can't be it couldn't happen to any nicer person in Landon Powell. It couldn't happen to a nicer team. For me, I'm rooting for them all the way, and I will put my alma mater hat on for this one and be a little bit biased towards this, but I think they're going to sweep.
Well, I hope so. And again, Friday, game number one, doubleheader if necessary on Saturday. I think it's 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. However, Patrick, they can go to nguathletics.com and buy tickets, find out all the information. And literally, there's a guy that has made his home here in the upstate. And, his wife got up, 2:30 in the morning for several years to be on television at, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And now they're raising children. And, of course, everybody knows the story of those twins and what happened to one. So here's a chance to pay it forward, if you will, here in the upstate. And, listen, this may be the only team, here at the Greenville County area, that Clemson area, that sees themselves in an NCAA tournament. So head up there to Tigerville and give them plenty of support. But it is postseason in D1 baseball now as well. Congratulations to the Gamecocks. They fought through, Pat. They had to have a win on Sunday at Mississippi State, and they got it. So they are the 12 seed tomorrow night in the SEC tournament in Birmingham. It is single elimination. Of course, nobody ever wants to see LSU, the number 5 seed, come up in postseason. But you know what? You can't win it if you aren't in it, and the Gamecocks get that final berth. Whoever wins is single elimination tomorrow in Birmingham. The winner will go on to face number 4 seed Mississippi State. Now, here's the deal. Starting Wednesday, it's double elimination. So think of it this way. They are basically having play-in games between the 5-12, 6-11, 8, 9, and 7, 10 teams, and those teams move on into the double elimination set. Now, it's a little different in Durham. Clemson baseball, they will play tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, so we will join the network at 10:30 a.m. And the Tigers find themselves as the number 8 seed. Tomorrow they'll play Boston College. Now, they'll get Wednesday off, and then Thursday morning at about 11 a.m., or at 11 a.m., I guess it's all dependent on Mother Nature and what happens here. Make sure they don't get behind. But Thursday at 11, they're scheduled to take on number 1 seed Louisville. So worst case scenario for Clemson, having taken 2 out of 3 this past weekend from Wake Forest, go 1-1, and I think you're in the NCAA tournament as a number 3 seed somewhere. Go 0-2 in barbecue, and you're sweating. You're sweating big. Mm-hmm. Because here's the deal, Pat. They get a 2 out of 3 against Wake. Good game one. They're up 10-1 in the 8th inning on Friday, and give up 4 and then 4 runs in the 8th and 9th innings to get out with a 10-9 win. And then the pitching fell apart completely from that point with a 14-5 loss on Saturday, in which the Wake Forest hitters had a season high in number of hits. So the point being, Clemson better take advantage of the pitching early on. Why? Because you get deep into their rotation right now, and that's where the difference is. I mean, literally giving up, 22 runs over the course of 11 innings, starting there in the 8th inning on Friday night. So the margin for error, Pat, razor thin for Clemson. Mm-hmm. I think any chance for South Carolina, they got to find a way to win the SEC tournament.
I agree with that about South Carolina. They need to do whatever they can to win that SEC tournament. And for South Carolina, for the game against LSU, basically just put everything you have in that one game. Because then at that point, it's double elimination, and you kind of rest a little bit easier about the second game. But just put everything you have to try to beat LSU. LSU's probably already in the field for regionals, so they may take it a little bit lighter and kind of just kind of wait. Carolina needs to put everything they have, whatever they can do, to try to win this tournament by any means necessary. Clemson, on the other hand, they've got to be thinking to themselves, man, what a blessing. Because they've already beaten these two teams in their series, respectively. They beat Boston College 2-3, and they beat Louisville 2-3. And that was back-to-back wins just to lose on Sunday. Clemson should feel a little bit better about the pool that they are in. These are teams that they've faced, teams that they've had great success against. I think Clemson could shock a lot of people and maybe win both games of this series, maybe in a little bit convincing fashion. The hitting has been there as of recently, just not of Sunday. I think Clemson can surprise a lot of people. And if they win one, I feel like they're in regionals. If they win two, they're in a much better regional situation for them. If they don't win at all, I think the best bet that they can hope for is try to maybe play in Athens, play in the Georgia regional. Because I think that's the only way that they can continue into the super regionals.
Well, again, I think South Carolina has to win. Clemson, worst case scenario, 1-1. They say the bubble's soft, but you know what? We've been saying that every sport, every tournament here recently, from the football, college football playoffs. We heard the same thing about the NCAA tournament in basketball. So we'll see. But one win, I think they feel pretty good. Why? Worst case scenario, Pat, they would finish, if you will, 16-16 in what's a really good ACC, but also
loaded.
they had the toughest. I mean, because they had to face both North Carolina and Georgia Tech out of the Coastal Division. So, and then of course all the power with Louisville and everybody else there on the side. Clemson's problem is, in my opinion, Pat, the number of times they just got ran. You know what I mean? 14-5 on Saturday versus Wake Forest. 16-2 earlier this year.
Yeah.
Some of their losses are absolutely horrific.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it just seems like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like they hang on to a pitcher for too long. I feel like they try to make him fix his own mistakes rather than go, you know what, let's take him out, let's get a new guy in, maybe switch it up the pace a little bit, see how that happens, see how that works. For me, you gotta put your best foot forward in these tournaments to make a case to say, hey, we deserve a chance in this regional. And if they make it out of their pool and move on, they're definitely in a good regional.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Pat, so our 4 p.m. keyword here that you can text into 72881 in the free cash dash contest is AIR, A-I-AIR. If I have to spell that for you, it's probably Diesel's App State deployment. No offense, we will take a few unabashed shots at Diesel this week, Pat. Is that kind of fair?
That's fair. He can't defend himself.
Think we can irritate him from midway out in the Gulf of Mexico, because that's about where you are once you get that far down into the Florida Keys. But we'll open up the phone lines when we come back. However, one quick more note on college baseball. You're going to see various colors walking up and down Main Street here in Greenville and the West End here. We'll let you know the Southern Conference tournament begins tomorrow night and then, of course, gets in full swing on Wednesday. We'll give you the update with our two local teams, and then the PGA Tour. Listen, the championship, PGA Championship, was this weekend at Bethpage Black. I know you're a big golfer, Patrick Brown, but let me ask you this. Has the PGA taken the air out of its own game? And I'll give you that explanation as well, but you can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live at Smoke on the Water, our sponsor. You got us at 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Clemson and Anderson. So, Patrick, we've been called out real quickly. You can follow me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, at Patrick Brown. He's at MacBrown22, also at ESPN Upstate. But North Greenville Athletics gets in touch with us and asks, so can we count on, or let me just read it. It says, so at Sturgis Sports, are you saying we will see you in the Ville on Friday night? Hopefully. Hopefully. Number one, I get off at 7 o'clock unless something crazy happens in the ACC tournament. Number two, I guess we can let the cat out of the bag. We're also going to be on the air in Spartanburg Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. Me and Cole Bryson, the newest member at ESPN Upstate, if you will, the new voice of Burns football. We'll have some of the Burns players and coaches over working on a couple of others. It's Adidas. They are building a couple of – they've already built a couple of new basketball courts there in Spartanburg at Founders Park. So we will be there on Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, and then, of course, the whole setup till 3 p.m. I think the block is also over there, Patrick. Doing a show as well. So I will try my best. But hopefully Saturday once I'm done with lunch with the family, I know there has to be a game number two. Maybe not game number three. So I will do the best I can. Now, also let them know, I hate talking through the radio, but Patrick, I've already been challenged if they make it to see if I can't make it up to Cary next week because one of my best friends in the media, Brett Freelander, lives there in Cary. Trust me, we'll figure it out as we go along. But, yeah, again, North Greenville hosting a regional versus Catawba on Friday and Saturday. Now, you just heard it there during the sports thing. The Southern Conference Tournament begins at Fluor Field tomorrow night. It is a 10 a.m. contest between Western Carolina and the Citadel. Then four games set for Wednesday, 9 a.m. It will be the winner of that first game versus number one seed Samford. The second game on Wednesday has Mercer versus number five Furman. These two teams have to be sick of seeing each other as they just finished up the regular season with a three-game set at Furman. Also, game number three around 4 p.m. on Wednesday is UNC Greensboro and number three seed versus number six seed East Tennessee State. And then finally, game number five, or the fourth game on Wednesday, is number two seed Wofford taking on number seven seed VMI. It says 7:30. Patrick, you're a gambling man. What are the odds that fourth game gets there at 7:30? I know that you don't want to admit, but you know what I mean. Anytime you step up to the microphone, there's a gamble to it. But what are the chances that a fourth game in a conference tournament in downtown Greenville begins on time at 7:30 Wednesday night?
I will say about 1,000,000 to 1.
I'm saying 8:30 for our friends from Spartanburg coming down to see Wofford, and that would be perfect timing to get over here to Smoke on the Water and get you a bite to eat before walking over to Fluor Field. How do you like working that in like that?
No, and I agree with that. I mean, Smoke on the Water is just a hop skipping away from Fluor Field, so, I mean, makes sense. Go there a little bit early, maybe stay for a while, enjoy yourself, and then go watch some baseball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be real. I don't think anybody's going to complain about 8:30 game down here in the South.
That's true this week.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful week. Weather's been nice. Breeze has been good. Should be some good college baseball this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. And, again, you heard Upstate also in their conference tournament as well. But, Patrick, I've got exciting news to tell you guys, all right? Watch out. I'm telling you, there's still a chance. Now, I made that comment the first time I went to curling at the Palmetto Curling Club, thinking like every other beer drinker or alcohol drinker, there's still a chance for me to make Olympics when it comes to curling. I found out within about 3 minutes that wasn't the case. It is a heck of a lot more difficult than sitting somewhere playing shuffleboard in a nightclub establishment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, guys, part two of my career coming up. I'm telling you, there's a chance. I drove up to Wofford today, saw Dr. Kana that did the shoulder surgery on me back in January, and these were the words that he gave me. Congratulations, Sturge. You just survived the nastiest surgery that I have to do in my profession. You're done. Go. Enjoy life. Now, he warned me I can start chipping and putting. He said, please give it to the end of the summer before you're really playing golf, because he said, right now, you are going to have to relearn your swing, and the worst thing you want to do is duff one, hit one fat, hit out of a wet sand trap, things of that nature. He goes, let's not mess that up. But my point is, I got green lighted today, so I got my life back a little bit.
I mean, that's good. I mean, hopefully I'll get to see you on the course here soon.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, golf is one thing that you're above average at. Golf is one thing that I was above average at. I reserved that till I get back on the course. Average in golf for non-professionals means you shoot 100. No shame in that. But I'm above average. So are you. But how much of the PGA Championship did you watch yesterday until I get a text from my buddy Chris Smith, who will be here at 5 o'clock going, uh-oh, you better watch out. This thing's now down to one shot. First of all, I'd taken Brooks Koepka because, you know, let's be honest, there were about 15 to 18 golfers this week that had a legitimate chance of winning that PGA Championship. Is that fair?
I agree with that.
All right. There are guys that finish in the top 10 that you would never heard of. Wallace finishes third. at minus two. What's he known for? Hitting the ball a ton. Same thing with Luke List that finishes at minus one. My point being, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, who finished first and second, two of the longest hitters on tour, but two of the longest hitters that can keep it straight. Jordan Spieth finishes at minus two. That's it. One more Luke List at minus one. That's it. But my point being, they picked a course that a lot of people just had to survive on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got bored as all get out with this particular PGA Championship. I was excited moving into it. Did not know what to expect out of Tiger. But you knew midway through the second round, there were X number of golfers that were just playing to finish out 36 holes and get their $3,100 paycheck.
What I kind of saw out of this course was it was the wrong time to play it. It absolutely was. This course was
soft.
It was soft, but it wasn't the course that you needed for a PGA Championship. I told you, I will keep telling people this. It was a U.S. Open course that they decided to name the PGA Championship. That's all it was. For me, this was a very difficult course, and for non-golf fans, it's nothing to get excited about. It's nothing that, you know, you're going to, you know, go home and tune into. It's not the Masters. It's not even Pebble Beach. For me, I got excited for this course because I know how difficult it is. I know how challenging it is.
There was one shot that or one hole on Sunday that I thought defined it for the big hitters. And this is where I want opinions from our listeners, especially coming back in the next segment at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. And give it to me straight up. But if you remember what number 15, I think it was, Dustin Johnson on a nearly, it was playing 486 yards uphill, cuts the corner to the left and hits driver sand wedge or driver pitching wedge into what should have been a par four playing 500 yards. That's what I mean. They've taken the air or added the air into the game, taking the air out of the game. That's not the way these courses are meant to be played. That's not going to be fair, you know, to other guys that just don't have that raw power. So they eliminated a good 75% of the field on Friday and then narrowed it down after they made the cut. Mm-hmm. And I was bored till I got the, hey, man, this thing's getting interesting. Dustin Johnson playing his butt off, but guess what? He got tired, faded coming down the stretch. Brooks Koepka looked like he was wanting to throw the tournament just to make it interesting before he sneaks away and gets a two-shot win, which, oh, thank you, CBS. I realize we all screw up from time to time. But how in the world do you miss the second shot on number 18 out of the bunker with what could have been the tournament on the line? They're interviewing Dustin Johnson while Brooks Koepka is hitting what is likely, at that point, the most important shot. However, he did the right thing, playing with the lead. He punches out of the bunker, puts it in close, makes a miraculous par, walks away with a two-shot win in a tournament that I was particularly bored silly with, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a golf fan.
No, and I am too. This wasn't exciting for me, and it's not exciting for a lot of viewers out there because the course isn't really a TV-friendly course. It's not going to be stylish. It's not going to be all this stuff. It's Bethpage Black. It's supposed to be tough. There's nothing showboaty about it. It is about as quintessential of a North golf course as you can get. It's not flashy. It's not showy, but it's tough.
Well, I think there's a problem when the number of times over the course of the weekend they had to go look and determine if a ball was plugged because it was playing. I'm with you. You play this thing later in the year, and guess what? Dry it up at Pebble Beach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want them to take into account for rolls and this thing and that because, to me, it's not a major when you can hit, you know, driver 8-iron, driver 7-iron, or God forbid, Brooks Koepka hitting a 6-iron out of deep rough like nobody else in the game of golf can do. Putting it 15 feet below the hole, walks off with the par. They got to do – I am a proponent. The only way you fix it and you even it back up, they got to find a way to deaden that golf ball, because there are very few courses that you can add length to at this point. And if you don't do that, what are the manufacturers going to continue to do? Design bigger drivers, higher flying, longer distance balls. They'll defeat that if you don't rein it in at some point.
What I think they need to do is understand, just kind of maybe it's just harden up the course. Don't wet it all the time, because whenever you wet the fairways and you wet the roughs and stuff like that, it's a much more acceptable to, like, kind of, you know, stay at one spot where you want to hit it. If you have to hit it hard, you have to hit it probably 10 to 15 yards less than what you think and just let it roll. Mm-hmm. You have to play a little bit smarter. That's why harder golf courses are much harder to read than softer ones, because when they're soft, you could just fly it there and it's just going to stick. You need to harden up golf courses, make people think a lot better. And I just think overall it was an okay PGA Championship, but I'm more of excited to see the Open and the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open to see what's going to happen over there.
Well, that's what I mean. You know what? You hit it past certain points in the fairway at Pebble Beach, and it's designed to slope down into it. So I trick it up. Don't let this thing be, you know, hit it as long as I can. I don't care.
Yeah,
at this point, I want to see some carnage.
Look,
and it wasn't carnage at Bethpage Black. That course will wear the hell out of you, and it was evidence. There was a lot of, at 16, 17, and 18, just getting in. You know what I mean? You were tight. No, I want to see it. Not on the physical side of things. I want to see it on the mental side.
For me, I'm more excited about the Open over in England because of the wind. The wind is the unruling factor in those courses that just kind of kills all the heavy hitters. All the big name hitters can't play those courses well because their ball flight is so long and so far that the wind can just take it anywhere it wants to and have fun with it.
And that's what began to happen coming down the stretch yesterday. That wind picked up, and guess what? Dustin Johnson started missing fairways. Koepka did as well. So Mother Nature helped them out. But even without a radically bad weekend, what, only seven players under par. But when we come back, does the game of golf have a new face, or is it just simply the fact they have another great golfer that doesn't care about being a golfer? Brooks Koepka, what a unique individual, if you will, but he's not somebody the PGA is riding off into with the sunset. We'll come back, talk about that, give you our local guys how they did. Take your phone calls. Is the game of golf, are they like, are they teetering on the edge of making this thing one-dimensional? So think about this for a minute. Are we unwilling to stop and appreciate what's going on the PGA Tour, Patrick, when it comes to Brooks Koepka? Because I don't care if he's Tiger Woods or not. I don't care if he's one of these endearing personalities or not. Stop and think about what he's done for a minute. He won his fourth major in 8 tries in the last 23 months alone, moves to number one in the process. Let's be honest, he could have won the Masters, which would have made it 5 out of the last 8 and, what, several in a row. Yet today, more people are talking about the missed shot on number 18 by CBS than they are the shots that were hit by Brooks Koepka. I mean, what is it? Is it the fact that this guy's so non-traditional that nobody wants to buy into it? Because I think if you know a little bit of his background, golf was not his number one option. You know what I mean? Some injuries forced him into golf. I think he fancies himself as an athlete that plays golf and not your traditional golfer. And it kind of rubs people the wrong way because, listen, I get it. I'm married, and I'll sneak a kiss with my – when you got so much confidence that the television cameras are on you, that you're walking with your hot girlfriend that is, what, some internet model or something, and she tries to give you a good luck kiss and you just brush it off like it's no big deal, that means you are totally comfortable in your own skin. But the reality is, this is not the skin of a traditional golfer.
No, and he doesn't play like a traditional golfer either. He plays with such, you know, intensity and focus that you kind of forget that, you know, he should be kind of a little bit more relaxed. Like, everyone was talking about a few things at the PGA Championship. One, Phil Mickelson's social media game is still top par. Like, he's still amazing when it comes to his social media game. Everyone was making fun about his thumbs up that he always gives throughout the whole course. So he posted a video showing him working out his thumbs, saying, like, I got to do a lot more of these to win the championship this year. I'm like, I love you, Philly. I love you, Lefty. Thank you for this advice. And then you look over at Koepka, and Koepka just seemed to be on my internet feed, even if it had nothing to do with his performance on the course. It was either his podcast interviews that he's done or, you know, the fact that he rejected his girlfriend from a kiss. I just think they have a star on their hand. They just don't know how to market him.
All right, so let me ask you, what's so different than Brooks Koepka right now as compared to Tiger Woods at the beginning of his career when he's racking up? Because a lot of people said, good God, Tiger Woods looks like a robot out there, not an individual. You know what? I think people look at Brooks Koepka to a certain extent and say, there's a golf robot, not a real human being. And that makes him difficult to relate to and therefore kind of easy to underappreciate, if you will.
No, and the thing about Tiger was that he was connecting more culturally,
right,
than Brooks Koepka.
And like, we knew him since he was, 4 years old on the Tonight Show pounding golf balls in there.
And we were familiar with him even in college, you know? Like, even people who didn't keep up with college golf or anything like that, like we all do, we knew about Tiger because of what he was just doing. His workout regimens were legendary around the golf community. He was performing different levels than anybody else had ever seen before in the sport of golf. Now you look at Brooks Koepka and you're like, it's kind of the same thing. We've seen it before. We're impressed. Don't get me wrong. We're impressed by what he's doing, but we're not surprised.
But if somebody else with some personality had pulled off what Brooks Koepka has done in the last 23 months with 4 major wins, potentially finished second twice. I mean, my God, we'd be anointing them as the next Tiger. But we won't do it. And Brooks Koepka's just 29 years old, and he's going to be around for a while. So you better get used to it. But the other thing is I think that, like you said, the golfing community, the sponsors don't know what to make of it because he's not going to be – I mean, he really doesn't like doing interviews. He's not going to go out and do those corporate events no matter how much money he's made because he's already could make because now he's made over $30 million, I believe, in his career, including $2 million yesterday. And it's like he – sticks his middle finger up to the golf community and the fact that when most of them complain about the New York crowds and this and that and the other, he wants it. And it's almost like he's insulting at his own game when he says, hey, I want that atmosphere. I want that raucousness because it makes it feel like a real sporting event.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, the powers that be at the PGA headquarters got me going, don't say that. But it's the truth. So he's one of the biggest enigmas that I've seen since John Daly came out, but for completely different reasons.
I think the world of golf, I'm gonna bring a wrestling term in here, a wrestling
Please.
Term a little bit. They need a heel. They need that bad boy. They need that guy who everyone is going to go to their event just to boo. And I feel like Koepka is the guy who won't care whether he's cheered, whether he's booed, whether he's loved, hated, adored, whatever. All he wants to do is win and shut people up. That's his goal. That's his lifestyle right now. So
he's willing to put himself in a picture of a thong with his hot girlfriend out there. That is the middle finger saying it feels like a real sporting event when people are yelling at you. That's a real finger. And, I'm not going to go work out. Obviously, he works out. Look at his muscle mass. But I'm saying he just doesn't put everything out there. Nobody really feels like they know him that well.
No.
So, therefore, it's easy to still cast some stones in his direction.
And I feel like he's one of those new guys. Like, we all love Rory. We all love watching Rory play. We all love Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. We all love these guys who we all know, but we don't hate any golfers.
No.
Like, we watch football, and we don't love the Patriots, but we'll tune in just to root for the other team.
Yep.
We don't love the Warriors, but we're tuning in and hoping the Trailblazers actually do something. We tune into these sporting events to boo the teams we hate and to watch them fall at our feet. Koepka is doing the same thing and trying to bring that to the PGA, and no one knows how to do it.
Yep, no doubt, because Sergio, we always loved his passion. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We always loved his passion, and you knew if you got under his skin, guess what? He was going to show it, and that's not what you're going to get from Brooks Koepka. All right, we'll come back and give you a rundown of how some other golfers went, a couple other news and notes at 5 o'clock. We'll be joined by both Tyler Butler and Chris Smith, and we'll get into the NBA and a whole lot more. Also, 5:37, he's playing for another national title, head coach of the Limestone Saints lacrosse team, number one team in the country, undefeated, playing for another national title this weekend. All that coming ahead as we are live from Smoke on the Water here on 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Clemson and Anderson. Final thoughts on this year's PGA Championship when we come back. All right, welcome back in. We're live here at Smoke on the Water. And listen, final thoughts on the PGA Championship, because I got nothing left to say. I'm with Patrick Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at MacBrown22. Also, final couple of minutes in the 5 p.m. keyword free cash dash contest to get in air for 4 p.m. We'll give you the 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. keyword coming up. But, Patrick, I mean, seven guys finish under par. One guy finishes even. The course is the ultimate winner. The only person that beat it down, it was like he, again, kind of gave a middle finger to golf. Watch me blow four consecutive holes, make it interesting, and then watch this. I'm going to roll it on out. But I tell you what, one guy, he's a long hitter, likes to play Bethpage Black. That's our good friend Lucas Glover. He finishes at plus three. And, of course, you know, you go look, and a lot of the former champions that get in this tournament, I guess you honor your heritage in that regard, but – when's the last time you heard the name Sean McKeel outside of his one win at the PGA Championship, 15-20? You know, misses the cut at plus 14. Not to mention guys like Padraig Harrington misses the cut at plus 12. John Daly at plus 11, but he obviously had the advantage of riding in a golf cart. You know, other guys miss the cut like J.B. Holmes, Jason Duffner, Mark Leishman, Lee Westwood at plus 7. One of your best players on tour, Bryson DeChambeau, plus 6. Ian Poulter, you know, there's a little personality right there, Patrick, that the PGA. Boy, don't you wish that the PGA, if they could do like a little cloning or you know, trade-off of put Ian Poulter's personality and temperament into one of the best golfers in the game and watch what happened, because that, you were, like you were saying, you know, the one thing people watch WWE and stuff for is A, those guys are very buff and cut and all that stuff, but B, they develop the storyline of good versus, not necessarily good versus evil, but antagonist versus protagonist. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So Ian Poulter could be that guy.
Yeah.
So
He's more of that guy in the Ryder Cup.
Right.
I will say that. He's one of those guys that you watch a lot when it comes time for Ryder Cups and stuff like that. To just be in the face of every American, just be like, who's going to stop me? Who's going to beat me right now? And everyone wants to watch, especially here in the States, to see who beats them, who shuts them up.
Yep.
And that's what makes Ryder Cup so exciting. But the PGA could do that all year round if they had the right guy to market it for.
Yep.
And Koepka is the guy.
Except he just won't say anything that controversial. His is more the middle finger to the establishment.
Good.
Not necessarily to the golf fans themselves. You know what I mean?
No, so, no, that's perfect. The people who are old school golfers are going to feel offended by it, but it's a way for the new school golfers to get interested in the sport, going, hey, I kind of like what he's saying. I want to bring this to the golf course. And then you had that constant, you know, half and half type of crowd where half of them loves him, adores him, will do anything and like buy his merch and all that stuff, and then the other half who can't stand him.
Well, you're getting back to one of the greatest scenes from a movie of all time, whether you like the entire movie Private Parts about Howard Stern or not. One of the absolute greatest comments ever made was when Pig Vomit was talking about the polling, if you will, for the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 50% like him and 50% hate him, but the 50% that hate him listen longer or whatnot. Why? Because they want to see what he's going to say next.
Exactly.
I mean, there is none of that. You know what you would get from that? You would get it from the announcers back in the day, like a Gary McCord or someone along that
David Faraday
line.
Would
yeah,
do
David
it.
David Faraday. David Fair, but right now, I don't think he wants to be labeled as anything. I saw he had to come out and admit he was having another battle with some personal issues. And but my point being, those were at one point the kind of thing. I mean, Gary McCord, back in the day, the Masters get so butthurt about him commenting on the air about the greens being slicker than bikini wax, and they did not want him back for a while. Oh, yeah, there was a bad boy in golf back in the day.
And the thing is you need someone to call it out. You do need someone like that who's just going to call it out and read the environment of the room, to read the environment of the situation and harp on it and make sure people understand it, make sure people are aware of it and keep them in with the story who may not be a part of it. And the second thing you need to do is keep it going on social media.
Yeah.
Because once you start one wildfire on social media, it all just goes downhill.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right. So, again, that kind of wraps it up on the PGA Championship. Let's reset for a moment. Here, when we come back, we're going to get you up to date on the NBA playoffs. It is game number 3, the Golden State Warriors tonight. They are looking for El Sweepo. Yes, El Sweepo. They play at Portland at 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN. Draymond Green with some interesting comments. Seems like he's kind of leading the way there while Kevin Durant is still sulking when all is said and done. Also, what to expect coming up in the Toronto-Milwaukee series. Toronto gets a big win last night, 118-112 in double overtime. And any of you people that spent watching whatever that show, Game of Thrones or whatnot versus catching that overtime. I mean, Kawhi Leonard closes out double overtime with 8 of the 10 final points, and he almost did it on one leg in that 118-112 win by the Toronto Raptors. Now they got a chance to even things up because I'm telling you right now, had Milwaukee gone up 3-0, it would have been lights out for the Toronto Raptors. So they managed to hang around as well. Their next game tomorrow night, game number 4. Also tomorrow, game number 6, the San Jose Sharks in the NHL playoffs at Dallas. They get a at St. Louis. The Blues get a big 5-0 win yesterday. And now they hold the 3-2 series lead coming home, and the San Jose Sharks look banged up. I'm telling you, the Boston Bruins looking good in the next round. And we will talk NHL at 6:20 with Crazy Charlie as well. All that coming ahead from Smoke on the Water, 844-GSP, ESPN. But thank God the L.A. Lakers are absolutely cannibalizing themselves. We have a great storyline as well in the NBA coming up.